Okay.
Because whatever is
out of the Garden of Eden, so to speak.
Yeah, because you have to move them to fit into the fall of the body,
mm-hmm.
to see the patterns of the emotional internal life. So they go like this from the bottom. So whatever takes predominance here is a cycle. Right now we're leaving the Piscean cycle, mm-hmm. and if you were to back it up from last night where we started the Aquarium, you'll see all the things that happened in the Piscean cycle earlier.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting when you brought up the fact in the Piscean cycle, he said he wouldn't have an automobile, he wouldn't have an airplane, but we have.
Yeah.
But that's the end. It's
that's
the
end of the cycle. We're on the cusp.
Yeah.
We see the cusp is 200 years from 2000 to 1800.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cusp.
And that's when everything started.
Well, everything started to move forward. So we got another 10 more years to go. And we're in the full cycle.
My father told us back in the early 80s. He said, when you get in the 90s, the late 80s, he says, everything is going to go wrong. He said, there's going to be all sorts of catastrophes and problems, mm-hmm. and people are going to have to bind together to survive. And he says, that's the beginning of the brotherly love that we're talking about.
Well, you see, there's a compensation for even that. The compensation is the initiate takes over their investiture,
mm-hmm.
and begin to apply the real purpose of the investiture. Then that particular condition will modify itself. But not until the initiate takes over his investiture and recognizes it, there will be no modification. He will be subjected to the preset conditions. So this.
I thought that was interesting when we were talking about the phone call.
See, the stars foretell, but they don't foretell. So for that reason, the form has the right by the investiture to exercise that right. But it must know its right. It just can't believe it. See, there's a big difference between understanding your right and believing you have a right.
Were you busy today?
Yeah.
Mondays for me is always
the work. Yeah. Well, you know, they finish their weekend and they come in. So the
what's the beginning of the week? I'll be fighting.
Right.
Locks are falling, fire trucks are running through the walls, and everything else is happening. They all are sleeping. Still, Dodd and Coffee Maker, which is almost half a mile away.
In such a way that the vibration may, the glue may get soft.
Is that they don't need the karmic struggle? Is that it or what?
No. You see, breath free is not an accomplishment to God. Because he's already living in a breath-free state himself. So he needs to what? Make a manifestation. So the moment he's going to make a manifestation, he's got to give it breath for it to live. So he doesn't enjoy breath-free organisms. He would enjoy breathing organisms. And he'll enjoy breathless organisms more. There's a big difference between breathless and breath-free. Breath-free, you didn't make it. And if you breathe, and you master breathless, you're hanging around for quite a long time. So that's the essence of it. Learning to function in a breathless state instead of a breath-free state. But you've got to go through the different degrees of breathing to recognize a breathless state. So when you come in and they cut the cord, it's right at that critical moment you're in a breath-free state, because you are the recipient. Your nose has to open up for you to take it in. So that means that air is pushed in from outside like a cup being filled. Then if the cup run over, whose thrill is it? Well, it's no thrill to the person who pours something in a cup and runs over, because it messes up the place.
Oh.
Talking yesterday about the long time there was no animals. There's no events in the interest of meditation that you have every now.
Oh. If you remember the autobiography of the yogi, the meditating saint. It's not a breath-free state. And so it's a breathless state from where you're interacting with the sonics. The lungs is designed to compress and interact progressively. So if you understand the sonics, that's why the lungs are set up as sonics, you can actually control distribution of the magnetic field of the body. So what you're calling levitation or weightlessness is a shift in magnetism.
Can be done any time or just during lung time?
No, it can be done any time. Lung time, I guess. The lung is assigned as the interaction between the frame and the environment. See, you don't have any organ that takes priority in your body with the environment over the lungs. If you don't breathe and you cut the cord, and the best liver ain't gonna keep you going. So the lungs are an organ pattern for that particular time of the day is set as a timing device for your health. So during the entire day, you're operating with your lungs. But it so happens that that specific time of the day is set for the body to interact with the environment. And so your diseases, which we call lung diseases, whenever you have a problem, it will occur between 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning. And there are only three or major diseases at that time in the morning that you die from. That's pneumonia, tuberculosis, or emphysema. They're all lung diseases. Asthmatic conditions too. Whether the lungs gave out because of the resonance reactor in the lungs. It doesn't hold the oxygen in time. So it purpose is not a breath-free state. The purpose is a breathless state. Breath-free is already here. And when the cord is cut, your body is going to be in a breath-free state because you're pumping hydraulically and pneumatically from the mother to the umbilical cord. And therefore, you don't have any nostril or nasal respiratory action going on in the womb. And so it has to be reacted by the nostril valves from the environment. So the environment triggers the opening of the nasal valve for the air to go in. So the ancient men wrote in the agricultural language, God breathed into man, breath of life. And then they refer to it as a gift. It's like somebody pouring a cup of liquid into a container. You don't breathe through your nostrils in no way, shape, or form when you're in the womb. That's facts. So the link with that particular function is locked into what you may call weightlessness or levitation. But these are just words we're using in reference to sonics control over magnetism. Specific basic mineral that is going to take priority in that area of the lung. Because when the lungs start to break down, it's a filter in the first place. All it's doing is filtering oxygen to carbon dioxide. Well, there is nothing here that will take shape or form without sonics. And when sonics is released, magnetism is brought in focus. So your Bible would say again, in the beginning was the Word. All right, but when you look at the statement, the beginning of what? A force field where matter would form itself. Or be floating around waiting for some type of stimulus. So the environment would be there waiting for this resonance or voice or sound to come along and move what? Stagnant material. But there's no stagnant material. Everything is in a state of constriction and dilation, but not necessarily attracting or repelling. They're just floating around in their own constricted dilated state. But as soon as their sonic is set into motion, they start moving to attract, to make a geometry based upon the frequency of the resonance. And as long as that frequency is, or harmonics is sustained, that geometry will hold. And then you'll know that that is the geometry of that particular frequency. Now, if you take away that frequency, it'll separate. Now, if it separates, then what are we saying? That magnetism brought them together by the frequency, and when the frequency was withdrawn, did the magnetism reverse itself? That's exactly what we said. So we know then there's a connection between sonics to attraction, and there's a connection to sonics with repulsion.
Talked about coal construction of carbon.
how the, coal can break down to a diamond, or you can do a million registrations and get to a diamond. But now, the diamond state, isn't it still applying to the same law of construction and destruction? Where does it go from there? The light? The geometry?
Well, a diamond is not a mineral, you know.
No, it's carbon state.
Yeah, the state of what? Extreme heat?
Extreme heat, pressure, and time.
And what about the extreme cold?
Freezing. Okay.
So, for neither cold nor hot has any effect on what now?
The diamond.
On the alternate condition of a carbon.
Right.
So, therefore, when you arrive at the alternate condition of a carbon, would you break down? Then therefore you're a non-decomposing organism. So that's what you find inside of the carbon-based body. A control of the intensity between hot and cold for the carbon to function. So you're a superconductor now and a super illuminator. And then there's no other mineral there bump into you because you're cut into pieces. So therefore, build me a temple that I may dwell in the midst thereof, and to him that to overcome, I will not send forth a second time, is all agricultural terminology for the commitment to convert this carbon-based body to its permanent state by virtue of your own conscious activity. You can't wish for it. You gotta live it. But you see, we have enough evidence already of the accomplishment of that particular phenomenon. Non-decomposing bodies exist. If you want to say Jesus' body is stolen, because a lot of people have that kind of virtue to say or purpose to say, and it took off, we have no evidence of the body, even the shroud is a fraud. Now that, again, leaves us in a condition where can the body be? But we've had other men who didn't leave their body right in front of everybody. A guy like Kabir. He was trying to unite Hindus and Muslims. And the day came when he was going to leave the planet, seeing that what he had done, maybe it was a failure or a success, but he decided to shut down. And in shutting down, lying there, the Hindus said, according to their tradition, they must cremate the body. The Muslims said, according to their tradition, they must bury the body. And after a couple of hours of arguing to bury or cremate it, Kabir got up and looked at them and shook his head and disappeared right in front of their eyes and left them two roses. The Hindu took their roses and cremated it, and the Muslim took theirs and buried it. They still got it. Coughing up to this day, wondering where the hell could he go. Now, Nanak was the same. So, we've had other men who've all demonstrated the reality that the carbon-based body has the ultimate quality. When you're dealing now with chemistry or physics, there is no other element that can outdo karma. No. But to have the understanding in a carbon-based body is more important than a belief. See, Paul didn't want belief, he wanted understanding. And when you gain understanding, then you're in control of your investiture from the Creator. Because why would the Creator want to create people to sit down and wait till they're dead? Isn't that kind of stupid? You're a Creator creating people and giving them life. Would you sit down and wait for them to build their bed to love them? But don't get fooled with these writings. They're there, they've come down through the centuries. But those who have gone through the process will vouch that God is inside of you already. You don't recognize it. because he has given this particular creation a new quality, the quality of individuality within a totality. And it's that individuality that is constantly prompted to delude itself. Like the wave is in the water, but everyone thinks that the water is not important and the wave is more important. But no air and no turning of the planet, there's no wave. Right?
So we can approach that understanding of the God within ourselves in different ways. What determines?
Now, don't expect somebody to be sitting in that throne waiting for you to recognize the God.
But the principle.
Either the principle. The principle is, and always will be, an opportunity to allow you to breathe. Take away your breath. You've lost your opportunity. You gotta wait till next time.
But my question is the understanding of the breath, kind of the unrehearsed now moment. What is it that determines somebody approaching that through, say, devotion to something outside themselves? Or what is it that determines someone approaching that that is already within themselves? Is it we each have different geometries that would make us prone to those orientations? Or is it just our own inclination? Or sometimes I'm sure everyone in this room is drawn towards devotion and is drawn towards another process. Is that all part of the script, the larger script?
Yes, and more. And maybe, and more. You see, if you're a producer, you would have a blueprint or a script drawn up. But it would be already be written before the actor would act the role. And when the actor does act the role, two things can happen. The actor can be drafted, or the actor can volunteer. In this particular process of ours, the actor was drafted first before it got a chance to volunteer. You didn't give your consent to be created. Anybody in this room gave their consent to be created? Now, I didn't say born, you know. Statement goes, come, let me make a stage or a universe that I can submit, right or wrong? Huh?
Wrong.
So, come what? Come let us? Now who is the us now? Is that a plural or a singular term? And what where are they doing? What are they sitting and doing? Are they being pampered little fellows sitting in a corner like a pile of dust? So it says, come let us make. Make a what? A manifestation. So they call it a man. In our own image and likeness, so that's a plural state, plus and a minus. So I don't know about two sperms making us and two ovum making us. The day we find two sperms make you, I'll join you. And then two ovums make you, I'll join you. But if you got a sperm and an ovum putting it together, fine. And if you only got one sperm and no ovum, I don't know how you're going to make it either. One ovum, no sperm, I don't know how you're going to make it either. So that tells you the principle is a Xeroxing condition of what is and a mirror effect of what is. That is, polarity is here already. But then when he made man in his own image and likeness, he accentuated male and female. So that means the male body is sperm ovum, and the female body is sperm ovum. There ain't no difference. You know, the accentuation would be different. But then the accentuation process had to be a reason, since the investiture was the reason. What are you going to do with them when you made them? Now, if you're going to make somebody and they're going to be the first pair of people and you're a creator, how old would you make them? All enough to take care of themselves? Then they ain't got no education. Where are they going to get the education from? You see, you attract your own head. You read a lot of things, but then you come down to the nitty-gritty facts. What have you got? Conversation. How old would you make them? Old to take care of themselves? By what degree? Can they take care of themselves and they don't have their experience? It's like a brand new computer never been programmed. What's it going to do? Play a replay before it's programmed? You can't make a single thing out here that you haven't decided already. Automatically, you look at your running into your line out of your mouth. But here's the phenomenon. Let us make man or manifestation in our own image and likeness, male and female created them. And God breathed into man. He didn't finish the job yet. Breath of life. And man became living soul or living soil. This is fact. You have a body to save your soul, that's preposterous. Your soul may save your body when you understand what it is. Then you may get out of the charade of being a victim of the illusion. But we've already been programmed by our agricultural heritage. Not churchianity. Very difficult. But then when you look at the facts about all the religious ideas, one thing stands out. No matter how great the religion is, what happens to the individual that represents it when they die? Do they rot or they don't rot? And if they rot, they didn't make it. And if they don't rot, something has happened to make them unique. But if they're unique and think they're unique, take a look again. The caterpillar done it before by becoming a butterfly. And you have to find a rotten butterfly yet. But I sure squashed up a lot of my days, both caterpillars and butterflies, to see how they would rot. Caterpillars rot when you squash them up. But butterflies don't rot no matter how you squash them. And they came before the human being. To say the human being will never come before his environment is preposterous. But the environment came before you. And in the process, there was an investiture. And the investiture goes, go forth, multiply. That's after you got the breath given to you. So you'll realize that this breath is given to you as a gift. And it says, go forth and multiply or Xerox yourself. And have dominion over the universe. Not over planet or little 8 by 10 square foot planet. dominion, not ownership. And the universe is a pretty big place to go around having dominion in it. But we live and breathe every day and go to sleep every night and have good dreams and go into deep oblivion. And don't know if you're a man or a woman, then you're sound asleep at night. And if you don't wake up, that's the end of the joke. You're still not going to know if you're a man or a woman, you're sound asleep. And then you wake up, or you don't wake up. When you wake up, they call you man, because you look at the girl. And you don't wake up, what do they do with you? Call the ambulance, because society says you can't have a dead person in the house. Throw you back in the cell to start all over again. But we're living with these things every day, 24 hours a day, and what are we worrying about every day about? You know what we worry about mostly during the entire existence? When the sun goes down, where will you sleep tonight? In case the rain lets you give you pneumonia before morning. And you're going to work your head off to pay for that little piece of wood over your head. Right? A place to crawl in and a hole or something over your head. And the biggest anguish and frustration is all based upon a roof over your head. Isn't that what every human being from the jungle to the civilized world is working 24 hours a day to catch up with that? A place to crawl in or cover their head at night. These are the facts we gotta live with. If these are not the facts, then I'll join you wherever it's different. But because of the facts, I gotta live it too. Then if I have to live it, then I must take what the other big boys have done to give us some idea how to function with it. Lord Jesus says, I give you peace. A type of peace that the world don't give. Now I look around for what the world gives you as peace. And all the world gives you is 6 feet under the ground and a piece of rock over your head, and there you rest in peace. But Brother Jesus says, peace I give, and that can only represent his strength to live now. Accept yourself what you are and live it. And you got the strongest peace in the world. Nobody can take that away from you. Stand up on your own 2 feet and walk. That's when you pick up the cross and follow it. Don't pick up his. You wouldn't want to be nailed to the cross like him. And you wouldn't want to take your seats if not here in 1989. But he did his, and he expects you to do yours. So the roles are written, and each one is living out his own, because they're all good. There's no lousy role. But God will say, if you don't live it, you're a poor actor. He says, I give you a role where you bust your nose up, or somebody beat the heck out of you, or you beat somebody, you have to be vicious. These are the roles I gave you to live. So they may sound hard and crude, but those are the roles you have to work with. But they're placed for us to live. They call it the scope of the horror, the horoscope. Now, years ago when I studied it and I look up Jesus' horoscope, I said, man, that's rough. He really had a rough horoscope. I think mine was bad that I fell off a building and busted up my body. I said, he had it more rough than me. But everybody's horoscope is rough and tough, because that's what's needed for you to gain your integrity. Muck it up, clean it up, and be thankful you're breathing. could be worse. Never to have been created to experience agony, to rise above it, to be thankful, to exhilarate the glory of creativity. So we were fortunate to have been created to experience agony by virtue of testing, to rise above it by virtue of compassion, to amplify the greatness of creativity. God is his own creator, creation, devil, and actor, role, audience, critic, and everything. So you ain't got a single thing here to do but live it. Well, huh? But it could be worse, as I said. So, for one good thing about this whole process, it's not a goal. Losers cannot be born. It's a rough run up the uterine canal to the ovum, but no loser ever gets there. The winner is born. When you come out and they cut the cord, you breed your winner. But you can make yourself a loser all your life with your mouth. And if you accept the physical fact of the biological accomplishment of what you are, it will transcend every verbal idea that you want to call yourself. Because what you are is not who you are. What you are is Owen. What you are is atomic physics. Who you are is all the illusions you want to generate about, all the cosmetics you want to build about in reference to yourself. But the actual what you are is here until midnight eternity. It ain't going no place. It's called Atom. The man in India calls it Om, and the Western man calls it Atom. But what's more important in the Atom is Ion, not I-off. So it'll never get turned off, then you get turned on inside your head. So the light is shining in the darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. While you're in your skin, you don't even know you got atoms. But let your light so shine before men that you spend the time trying to do the sperm run in your head. You see, that's what enlightenment is. Reliving the journey of the sperm to the ovum that puts your body together to become an atomic reality. So all the years you sit now meditating, the gurus of the East never let out their secret until one day you are forced to confront what it was all about. Today we know for sure that meditation is cellular TV. And you're doing the memory run of how you put together for the first time. So in 10 more years from now, a lot of people are going to be emerging, highly enlightened. But I don't say they're going to be highly healthy, but be highly enlightened. They've got to clean up their act still. Cleaning up your body is still a daily chore. Being enlightened as to what you are, or where you came from, or where you're going, is already set up in yourselves. You don't have no place to go because we live here now. And we are the children of the Hare family. Mr. and Mr. Hare runs this whole show. Mr. Hare's name is Pat Hare, and Mrs. Hare's name is Mutt Hare. So you call it father and mother. God, good. And the children are B. Hare, very bear. So you come out what? Your birthday suite looking at bear? The Xerox copy of the whole principle? But you're the heir to the Hare family. That's the H-E-I-R. So you're going no place other than enjoying being the owner of being here. Or you may not like it, or you're stuck in it like me too. So, huh? Good. That's what I got, man. So don't be afraid to live now. Only two things can happen to you. You can fall asleep. If you wake up, you can be exactly like the day of creation, horny all over to get started. If you don't wake up, you're back in the soil to get started again as a new being. There's no way to throw you that you're going to remain permanent because your elements. And elements are here and will always be here until the big voice says, come let us make a manifestation. Let's take a geometry, put it together. So sound holds matter together. And whatever geometry it wants, to hold it together and sustain it by sound in a magnetic field called love. But what is unique about the process, each geometry is an individual to itself, a gift that cannot be revoked. That's the one thing that the creative intelligence cannot take away from its creation. The sense of individuality. But having given it, it uses this particular process to amplify its highest presence by asking it to build a temple, a dedicated behavior of attitude within the structure of permanency that it may dwell in, it be the form that operates it. And if this individuality would stick it out and don't panic and act what it says, then that creative principle will enhance it with permanency. And the permanency is a specific element that is designed to make it possible. And that's the carbon. There are many other forms of body having different elements predominating, but they can't reach the level of the carbon, because only the carbon can go through extreme heat, extreme cold, and come out permanent to light and to rigidness. So anytime you find yourself in a carbon-based body, you have the ultimate opportunity when you start the journey of understanding. You see, you want to find different processes of devotion. The only process of devotion that is valid is the process of understanding. All the rest is something for nothing games. Passenger attitude. ATG syndromes, attention getting syndrome. Understanding doesn't have no attention getting. It's not a passenger. It's a driver of his own car. So if the brother says, pick up your cross and follow him, he's not expecting. expecting you to be a Pasi. He expected you to be a brother. If you was a brother, he wouldn't say you could do better things and greater things than he did. You'd only say, not greater than him. But he said, you'll do exactly what you did and more when the condition presents itself. Because who are you doing it for? The creative consciousness that puts us all together. But there's no room for boasting. There's no room for show off. There's a room for participation with unrehearsed, ever new, unanticipated opportunity. Now. So understanding is what Paul wanted, and understanding is what all the realized people point as master. That's what they refer to as master. They have mastered their five senses and hold their intellect in focus. The umbrella of love that keeps out the rain of the words invented by the mouth. You know, the rain of words that invented by your mouth. I can't do this, and I ain't doing this, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. Pour me this, and I'm going to, I don't want it, I don't want it. You know those, that rain, that verbal rain all day? It'll give you verbal pneumonia. But once you understand and the process is simple, there are no goals, because Big Daddy doesn't intend to go to business. So it's a process. And once you understand the process, you have the opportunity of your own purpose. If it was a goal, then you'd find God sitting on a throne in some antiseptic corner of the universe, waiting for their people. Why would he create them and give them life if he wants them dead? That don't make sense. Didn't Jesus, when he was alive, you know, he never condemned any behavior other than sleep. No matter what the behavior was, even when they wanted to stone a woman to death for her behavior, and he confronted them, and then they all ran away admitting to themselves that they didn't know what they were doing, he never even condemned them. But what he condemned his own students for is falling asleep on the job. He says, come pray a while with me. And they went in the corner, and he went off a little way from the group, and he started to close his eyes to meditate. And when he turned around, in an hour's time only, all of them are sound asleep. And then he said, oh, you have little faith. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They had good intention, but fall short of their obligation to live it. Sleep. When you are sound asleep, do you know? So for that reason, any realized person who is going to confront or indicate what creative intelligence is all about would have to master sleep. And even the book called The Razor's Edge, that was the biggest test that this fellow had to experience when he went up in the mountain to go master sleep. And if you do overcome the sensation of unconsciousness, then you're free. Unconsciousness doesn't allow you to be conscious. Therefore, you can't relate to anything. And God is existence. That's very impersonal, that word. Consciousness, that's very universally present and doesn't say what it will do or what is it conscious of. And bliss. We don't say if it's painful or joyful. So Eastern men refer to it as the existing conscious bliss. Life is the only label they can refer to, or great spirit. And every religion tried to refer to the source of this particular principle as impersonal creative intelligence. Jesus was the first man to refer to it as Father, making it personal. There is no other belief system ever evolved through time that would refer to the source of man's origin as a parent. It's only Jesus who came along and set up that connectedness. But he was right when he said that, because come let us make man in our own image and likeness. Wouldn't that be the automatic parent of the product? And giving it breath of life, so we are functionally the product of a creative intelligence, therefore we are the child. And the intimacy and the personalness brings this bond. So when he said, I give you a better commandment, or another commandment than what Moses gave you, is love the Lord thy God with all of your mind. Now you can't fall asleep if you don't love with all of your mind. You break the commandment the moment you fall asleep. That's the first portion of the commandment.
So I understand.
So observe the magnetic field of how your structure is organized to identify with creative intelligence via oxygen that provides the opportunity for you to be conscious in an organism made up of a 43 elements called body. And by virtue of this process of breathing the oxygen, you have the experience called consciousness or mind. It doesn't say you're intelligent. It doesn't say if you're a wizard. It only asks you to love it with all of your consciousness or mind. But you have to breathe oxygen to be conscious, to have any condition called mind. There is not another element in this universe that will allow you to be conscious. If you find it, I'll join you. But so far, oxygen is the only one that's doing it. And to love means to be attracted to. You only love when you're attracted to something. When you're repelling is what It's an opposite form of love, but it's still a love too, because you love the opposite. You may call it hate. So some people have a date with hate, you know, or repulsion. Some people have a date with attraction. But wherever it is, there's still consciousness, still oxygen that's going to activate the individual to relate. And with all of the mind, you can't fall asleep to the job. No matter if you're loving or hating, you can't fall asleep to the job. It's got to be with all your mind. Then the next condition is with all of your heart. That means the blood's got to be pumping inside of you if you got oxygen. That's with all your mind. So if you don't fall asleep, your heart will be pumping. Good. Is there any time your heart can take a vacation? Good. Then you got to do it with all your heart, right? Then with all of your strength, that's the actual respiration now. That's going in and out of your body to make you feel that pressure, feel... Exactly. And last but not least, with all of your soul. Now, we haven't found this particular thing called soul that is very genuine. But we found living soil that is 144 elements in a state of motion of a certain weight and pH factor moving on time all the time. It never stops. So it's called living cells or soil. That's it. The elements are a dynamic state to provide a geometry called body. But because the body is a geometry, it has the capacity to accelerate and do things that may seem beyond the range of non-acceleration. So people used to refer to that as psychic or soul or all kinds of labels. But today we're only looking at factually the body's ability to accelerate itself from one level to another level within its own atomic capability. Like a car can accelerate from one speed to the next speed and still go down the road. You don't change the car, you change the acceleration. So you change your focus. And then you feel that you have more integrity inside of your mechanism. But you got to breathe. Like it or not, no matter how much integrity you want to generate, you still got to breathe.
It reminds me of the last time you were here, we talked about how it all breaks down to 144 minutes a day. If you do that right, when you're breathing, you can switch your RNA and DNA so you keep that magnitude going.
Yes. Scientists will eventually validate that. So, it's coming. But you've already got it. Be in a state of what?
And not know what they are.
Yes. No, maybe. First you must establish what is bliss. See, if you don't establish what is bliss, how can you be in a state of it? And who is going to be in a state of it? The who of you or the what of you is going to be in a state of bliss?
Thank you. because you're asking bliss. So what do you think bliss is? You got the dictionary here? You see, your own dictionary will make you feel stupid at times when you read it. We use these wonderful words only to find out we don't even get the slightest notion of what we think to ourselves. But then when you really check it out, then you see a lot of things are happening already. You want to read it? Bliss. Read it loud so that you hear it.
Bliss, a continuing state of extremeness.
A continuing state of extreme happiness. Well, when you start. Is when you breathe. And it ends when you don't breathe. Facts of physics now. No imagination, no psychology, no philosophy, or no churchianity, no spirituality. This is basic facts. So what the yogis are talking about is just a label of what the physics are. And people write books called metaphysics. That means beyond, but they don't really clarify it. There's nothing beyond here.
I read something in a book called
That's providing you breathe. If you don't breathe, how can you activate it? So that one last is a control, right? You don't have a single thing here, friend, if you don't breathe. And breath of life isn't something you take out of the air by being formed by the creative intelligence. It is something given to you as a form to function by the creative intelligence. He didn't say that.
No.
Well, can you have a continuous state of love if you don't breathe? Try it. Let me see. How are you going to do it if you don't breathe? They cut the cord. You don't breathe now. What's the mother and the father going to do? The doctor, and they're pumping away with all kinds of devices, and finally the car said, sorry madam, that fetus didn't make it. He didn't say that, a human being. Where is the continuous love now going to be? Where is the continuous bliss going to be, or happiness going to be? Let's look at some fundamental truth about ourselves. Then the illusion can go down the drain, and the actual reality can sustain you. And if the actual reality sustains you, you are in a state of bliss. You don't have to go look for it. You see? If I have to look for God, then I'm stupid. He doesn't give me breath of life and he's up my nose. Well, what the heck am I looking for? That's stupid, then I'm stupid. I'm in a state of what? Perpetual bliss as long as he poke the air into my nose. If I refuse it and give it back to him, now that's the unique key. It's called the lever that moves the universe. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and render unto God what is God. And the guy by the name of Archimedes once said, if I can find the right lever, I can move the universe. But he never found the right lever. So they buried him. But the only lever that can move this universe is just breath. And Jesus taught it to us by saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my... Then the father said, take him back. What am I going to do with him? So Jesus came back 3 days after and walked through the wall and greeted Thomas. And Thomas said, nah, this is a joke, man. This is a hallucination. He said, okay, Thomas, check it out. Stick your hand up in the wound and make sure. And you guys got some matches here. I can eat it. Yeah.
In the autobiography of the yogi, there's one story. I don't know the exact chapter where some villagers run up to the top of the mountain to see an old yogi. His mother had died or something. In a permanent state of meditation where they had to shake him for like 25 hours to get him to come down. Who's breathing for him? If he's so far into the ether or whatever name you want to put on it, out of body, out of physical reality, what's breathing in his physical body to keep it alive?
Now listen to what you're saying. He's not in a breath-free state, he's in a breathless state.
Okay.
A breath-free state, they bury him.
I realize, so something
so, no, wait a minute. Breathless state is the gap between inhalation and exhalation in reference to the oxygen, and where is the largest percentage of oxygen in the human body stored. Now let's get some physics, you know, before you start throwing yourself in. Congratulations! Did he drain his blood out before? Or you still can't lie down there with him? Which is the largest area of oxygen on the planet Earth? The ocean. And when were you put together in the sky like a gnat?
No.
Or you were put together like a worm and a fish.
In
an ocean. So how are you going to get around the laws of physics when you really understand what you say to yourself? Then the journey to God is simple. Breathe.
So are you saying breathless state?
Breathless is not breath free. And most people who tell me they got an out of the body experiences, they don't go into a breath-free state.
They're
still breathing. If they didn't breathe, they'd have buried them.
The breath may be that which goes out of the body, but the body contains through the blood.
The only time you're breath-free, friend, is when you don't breathe, you start smelling stink.
I'm trying to get the definition of breathless.
Breathless is the gap between respiration and exhalation.
No.
All right, wait a minute. It's just very simple to understand. In 1 minute, a monkey breathes in and out 32 times and lives a life of 9 to 10 years. In 1 minute, a turtle breathes in and out 4 times and lives approximately 300 years. Now, you are stuck in the middle between the monkey and the turtle, around 12. And if you make 80, you're lucky. Now, if you want to make your 100 and your other numbers, like the turtle, you've got to do breathless or breath-free. Good. Now you understand physics. Your heart slows down too. Because if it slows down, you're breathing less. If you're breathing less, you have more toxicity in your body. Is your lactic acid building up to make you a sick person? Or are you performing biological cell refrigeration, known as hibernating or hibernation? The animals did it before you and I, you know. Today the astronauts are studying the brown bears so that they can go from here to outer space by sleeping and getting up like a brown bear.
But how come some of the masters have not some of them have body, not
well, remember what you're saying. You know. When you say they got into samadhi, samadhi is a nice fancy word for what? A breathless state. All right. He would understand me more quicker because he had to work with it. The doctor. Sleep is unconscious sensory motor relaxation, right or wrong. Correct. Wakefulness is conscious sensory motor organic tension, right or wrong. Death is unconscious sensory motor organic relaxation, right or wrong.
It's conscious, okay.
But it's not to be organic state. It doesn't stop at the sensory motor state.
It starts with sensory and goes to the
organic.
Perfect.
So what is unconscious?
Right.
Good. Conscious, sensory, motor, organic relaxation is not known. Trans, samadhi, nice fancy word for what? In wrapping?
No,
not organically what, shutting down? So your lungs and heart, your lungs and heart are still pumping in a very slow way.
You're slowing your metabolism.
That's actual physics. So where did the person go in the first place? Only to what? A respiratory extension between inhalation and exhalation.
Right. Prolonged extension.
Now you know, now you understand what the physics is all about.
Why have the masters done that? Physics,
you know when you use the word master, what? Master for who? They have mastered their ability to extend their capacity to breathe less in order to extend their longevity in a cellular structure that is set to break down or shut down within a given time frame with the rearranged organisms of the environment. A monkey lives how long? You don't do a doggone thing other than monkey. And a human being is set up to live how long? Mm-hmm. A turtle is set up to live how long? But you know a snake? A snake can go up to 1,000 years breathing 2 breaths per minute. And King Cobra does it.
So are you saying that some of the masters have mastered
those? Oh, when you say what have they mastered? They have recognized that breath is life, and the capacity to slow it down to be breathless and not speed it up to choke themselves to death.
So they're trying to move on to another
yeah.
aspect of fear?
No.
She's saying, I think, about certain people who've mastered the breathless state, they just never come back to the body, the body state.
I'm thinking of people like
Mr. Matanando went into a breath-free state. He didn't go into a breathless state. Don't confuse the two. Mr. Yogananda went into a breath-free state. He didn't go into a breathless state. But there are two ways to go into a breath-free state. Unconscious or conscious. Now those who consciously do it reap the 24 rewards. Those who do it unconsciously start all over like a pile of dirt.
So they chose to go into the first.
They don't chose.
You said do it consciously. They're doing it consciously. They're making a choice, are they not?
No.
If their time has come and they know that, and so they say consciously that they're going to go through that process.
Yes. Yes. But why are they going through it consciously?
Now I don't even understand that. If they've mastered breathless, why are they going through breath-free?
To leave you something to make you realize that they are masters of themselves, not masters of you. And that what is waiting for you is very, very great about yourself.
Why are they not staying here?
They are here in the room, but can you see them? Mm-hmm. They've materialized. I don't know of Yogananda there. He comes in and eats with me and goes away. But I don't go up and boast about it. I don't have a dead thing.
You
see, my point is this. I can't boast about these things. I got to keep my mouth shut. I accept the communication with the saint. Not a walk-in. Or I'm not telephone booth for some jerk. But if a saint who has achieved master of the breath of life, he has passed the test which is given to you at initiation. If he comes through that door and those 5 points of the star is there, he better crystallize himself in the room and talk to me, or else he's going to be what? So people who have walk-ins and channels, they don't like to hear Adano is coming because they take off. And he will know of a certain incident, tell them.
We got talking to go into a seance one time. And where this man was channeling various spirits. And he happened to find a romp with one of them. And Adano just sat and listened to the whole thing. And finally at one point he said, "Can I ask a question?" And the spirit says, "Certainly, ask a question." Donna said, "Who are you?" And he replied, "Rompa." "And who are you?" "Donna." "I've got to go now." And then,
you see, had he stuck around another 5 minutes, he'd be the toilet bowl for the balance of his creation. Because that's what I do to them. I throw them down the toilet bowl and flush them.
That part I understand. I still don't
understand the difference. A realized person is not a walk-in. A realized person has mastered the atomic structure where they can walk through the wall, come in here and ask you for the food in your refrigerator, and you and them are going to eat it, and they'll come periodically to prove to you all the time that you're not living no figment of imagination. And so then they will leave you the piece of food and they'll tell you, don't put it in your refrigerator, and they'll come back in 8 years to check it to see if it's rotten. They want you to know God. They don't want you to know gimmicks. That's why they call them saints.
So in order to get to that particular state,
you have to learn the breathless state.
Okay.
You were given that when you were initiated.
Why are they choosing
the breath-free
state?
A breath-free state is not a choice. It's a reward in order to prove to man that he is God, not a God.
So is it a step past the breathless state?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
So it's not a choice, it's the next step.
No, listen carefully.
Okay.
You breathe through your nose?
Yes.
Did you breathe through your umbilical cord? Pump it through your umbilical cord to keep you growing, right?
Right.
And then when they cut the cord, you got it through your nose, right?
Right.
And when you die, you think you got left out. Is your nose made of skin?
Yeah.
Is your umbilical cord made of skin?
Yeah.
But you didn't know how to breathe through your skin, so you get left out. All you knew was to what? Accept it through your nose and wait for mother to pump it through your tummy through the umbilical cord. But when you breathe through your skin, mm-hmm. then you've mastered what
is. Why you were able to stay alive after the hospital.
That's right. But learn to breathe through your skin.
So you learn to breathe through your skin, you get to the breathless state.
And also, it, the reward is a breath-free state, because skin don't breathe.
When you get to the breath-free state, what happens to the physical body?
How can it decompose? It's atoms.
But it is.
It's a carbon-based mechanism. There's no way to talk of it from then on. You got to go live it now.
So a body cannot decompose both in the breathless state and the breath-free state if you've mastered the breathless state first.
That's right, but you got to be conscious. You can't be unconscious.
Because in the breathless state, you have to be conscious.
Mm-hmm. There's no room.
So the difference between a body that decomposes and one that doesn't
is unconscious.
In a breath-free state is because the breath, the person who doesn't decompose is learning how to go through the breath-free state, breathe through the skin, and has gone into the breathless and has gone into the breath-free.
Yeah, in a conscious state.
In a conscious state.
The other person doesn't go there conscious, they go unconscious, so what happened to them?
Plus they don't learn how to go through the breathless state.
Good. Now, Brother Jesus already told you, you know, he who doesn't come through by the door is a thief. Don't try drugs. They let you down, the drain. You have to come through the door. So, and he's the first one to hit you in the hip for trying to get through there a drug. Because none come unto the Father but by me. But as many as receive me, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even unto those who believe in his name. So that's a pledge he made to make sure that the walking and those who use all kind of finagling games don't get through to the actual truth. The actual truth can be earned, experienced by simplicity of acceptance for now. That's what's so difficult for us to accept. How many can accept living now? Aren't you constantly living yesterday and tomorrow in your head? Look how many times in 24 hours your brain flips back tomorrow and yesterday. But if you live now, it's unrehearsed, it's brand new, unanticipated opportunity for a great price. And every instant is a pearl of great price. No tour alike. That's totally free, Lord of yourself. Very difficult science, but very simple if you understand it. It doesn't require book learning, it requires understanding. But understanding is something you learn by making mistakes first and correcting. He is in the breathless state. And he can go as far as he wants to go.
Is it his purpose, though, to show us that there is a longevity?
Yeah.
That we can surpass what's within our...
But then he read the autobiography of a yogi?
Right.
remember that Babaji is going to go on what? Cosmic vacation in front of a student. And what this other person came along and said. This other person said, "Deathless Guru, why do it?" But the other person was a woman and was a sister. Now picture how old was Babaji before he was going to go into this deathless death state. Then if she was a sister, how old is she? You see, there are a lot of people living, friend, that are in this deathless state. Yes, also they are in the breathless state. So it's not a macho game. This is strictly a physical science. It's not the materialism. It's a cosmic process involving centering in the now on what you are. And it's not something to be afraid of. It's something to recognize. A rabbit. And most of the animals in the winter time, they hibernate and do it naturally. They practice hibernation. Bears practice hibernation. And what they're going to do with the astronaut when they take him out to space? They're going to slow him down, monitor his heart and his breathing, where he'll be identical like a sleeping rabbit in the winter time, or a bear in the winter time, but they'll activate him so he can get up and do work.
So somebody might sit here 150 or 160 years rather than 70, because they have to complete in a breathless state, and they haven't completed their work, or because they're trying to show the rest of us about longevity or some other lessons they need to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else may say, gone through the breathless state, consciously go into the breath-free state and into their reward at maybe 70 or 80 because they finished their work here. Or their time has come. Or what?
No. They don't finish. They've just begun to work. No. They can't leave here. And they can't get out of now. But they can go through different ways to function in here and now. Where else are you going to do it? No. No. How many suits do you have in your wardrobe? How many suits do you have in your wardrobe? You mean you own them, but you don't know me yet? No clothes? Well, that's exactly what these beings are doing that have mastered it. Yeah. Yes, no, maybe. Remember, anytime you put yourself in a situation with nature, you must pay the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you're going back, why are you going back? Because you finish it, or because you still feel like you didn't do it?
Well, I feel like I don't understand. I don't understand it at all. And I figure it out. I feel like figuring out would be helpful. Figuring out what I'm doing. But of course, I know that you do that, and you just intensify that past part.
Where does anything in the past exist? Oh, then you see, the illusion is yours to hold on to. What is the cell made of? So, does any atom go anyplace? Or just entertain you to hold the geometry so that you may think you're someplace? And as soon as you let go of the geometry, what place would the element be? What help? Is the past a help to the past? The present is the unrehearsed opportunity. But you don't want unrehearsed opportunity. You want to bring the past into the present to make you feel what? Comfortable? Can you accept the unrehearsed opportunity now? Of just breathing? Just like when they cut the cord? How many of us are hanging on to the previous impressions without actually living the now? Living the now is all there is and will always be. But you're going to be locked in to the illusion that you got to think of the past or look for the future. Does the baby in the womb think of the past or the future before the cord cut? Unless you relive the journey of the sperm and ovum to how you put together, you ain't got no enlightenment of anything. You don't know what the heck you are. You're just a bunch of words.
That's part of the process of reliving that.
Reliving the journey of the sperm to the ovum to recognize the ignition reaction in your mechanism, that your atoms.
But along the way, too, even in the womb, we talked about this, I think, from last night or sometime, since after long it's been, that, for lack of a better word, we pick up programs and tapes, you know, things from mother, things from father.
Yes.
And that affects our whole. Allow it, our interpretation, to affect our whole life in some cases.
Well, don't panic with it, because you chose that route to come through.
Yes, but my understanding is.
But if you didn't choose that route, you wouldn't have it.
Right.
And understanding is the only that you're accepting it to face it.
That's right.
And as once you face it, you love your mother and father for what? So that's the whole purpose of the thing. Thank God that he made it and put you together that way. You had to come out that lousy road, but there's no better road to come out.
But if I don't investigate it, sometimes I don't find out.
Well, that's what meditation is for. Meditation is for you to sit down and relive the experience. That's why it's called memory, more of me. Thou shalt have no other gods or graven image before me. Meh, moving electrons. You can't have a graven image or God in front of the moving electrons, incorporating, holding you at a form. What God can you worship that will precede moving electrons or take the place of moving electrons? You want to call it spirit? That's a nice fancy word for what? Spinning in a magnetic field. Still, it's atoms, and atoms is elements, and life is elements of a certain rate and pH factor moving on time all the time. They can't stop. The form is the geometry held by the sound. You come out looking white, brown, yellow, male or female. And you talk yourself to the blue in the face, but it falls asleep. But if you don't wake up, that's it. If you wake up, you keep reminding, was I a man or a woman? Now, if you can stay conscious without falling asleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're doggone right. That's right.
back to what Pat was saying.
Yeah, and I have something to look at. Well, I'll tell them about you, but what I was, because after the fourth mission, I'm talking about kind of your, you know, background, that if you use free, what about rebirthing?
Rebirthing does not take you back as far.
Meditation. But it can't take you back
to the it can take you back to the moment of coming out of the womb into the air to breathe. But it will not take you back to where you are sperm and ovum. To see yourself ignite as atoms, you got to meditate.
Well, rebirthing and also body work that releases things. I've too much experience that with you, the things that are trapped there.
Those are all valid, but has a lot to do with what we're talking about to get you back to the point.
I thought it did, but
no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's a rebirth. You relive the rebirth of yourself coming out to breed, but it doesn't relive which sperm match which ovum.
No, but it relives why this baby picked up a lot of responsibility.
But that's not enough. That's not enough. What is important is ovum 149 present in your mother, 148 didn't get used. So it's 149, the 148 went down last month, this is 149 now, calling sperm 149, and if it's a dog, 100 of the dogs can show up, all containing 149 sperm to give it to that dog. But because you're living with your husband, he's the one who's going to supply 149. Out of the millions of sperm that he's going to throw to you, and they can't turn around and go back inside, you got to live this horrible experience, which may be horrible, but it's a beautiful experience. You throw you out, you didn't ask your consent, and you got to hustle up that uterine canal, and the ovum is waiting for you.
Where's your present? Where's your present?
Yeah.
I mean, that was fun.
I was just thinking we'd get so wonderfully long.
Calling him. When you go through a rebirthing process, you're only going up to the level of coming out. And the cord is cut to the point where you breathe the air. You don't go back up the uterine canal in a rebirthing process. See, years ago I was working with that long before the man, whoever thought he was doing rebirthing. Well, we never talk of it much because in yoga you don't talk of it much. But we go right up to the point in meditation. To where you have to go right back to your silicon chip and carbon chip that makes up your cells to relive the journey of the sperm and the ovum. And then back to the ignition where the ovum locks on the sperm and it's called 4th of July. Years ago when I was made a Swami, the man who made me a Swami, he said, he got initiated when he was a boy,
around 14. And he grew up and helped build his business, joined Gandhi, helped Gandhi to free his country right up to 65 years of age, and then he was retired. And at 65, he went to see his own teacher, who had initiated him when he was a little boy. And going in the cave where the teacher was staying, the teacher's floating in the room, but the teacher was 45 years of age when he was 14 years of age, so you can figure how old the teacher is now. But the teacher's floating around in the room meditating. And so he said to the teacher, "Sir, I've been your disciple since I was 14 years of age, but I've never seen anything inside of my consciousness. I've never had no inner experiences. All my brothers and sisters that have been initiated by you, I've had wonderful experiences of God, and I've never." And the teacher looked down and said to him, "Get the hell out of here. Don't come back." He was one broken-hearted man, because here the teacher tells him such a thing. And he's 65 years, a very wealthy man. So he pulls himself out of the cave, and he decides to sit down just to close his eyes out of respect for the teacher. And the moment he closed his eyes outside of the cave, bingo, he said his whole head was like a 4th of July. He relived the entire journey of the sperm and ovum, but what was comical, eyes open, eyes shut, the whole universe is 4th of July. But the only quality that remained is that he could cope in between waking and closing the eyes and walk for the first time in both states. It's called convex vision. He sees everything as is. Can't do a doggone thing about it. And that was in, he was 65 years of age. When I met him, he was 84. And I was supposed to meet him in the airport. But I couldn't go at that time. I had to work that late evening, and he was coming to lecture in Dallas. He was at the door, like over there, and I'm standing here against the wall, and there were over 300 people in the room. And he started, he looked around in the room, he's a short fella. He looked all around the room, and then he looked straight at me, and he started walking towards me right down this card. And he comes right up, and he stands right up and looks me straight in the eye and said, "I gotta make you a Swami right now." Well, my ex-wife says, "What the hell that makes me? Nothing." It blew her cool away. But then he initiated in Swamihood. And then he said, "I'll give you a name. I'll call you Adi Ananda." He says, "But then I can't call you that, because only God can be called the first bliss. Adi means first bliss. Ananda means bliss." He says, "I'll call you Nityananda." I says, "Thank you, I like that nitty-gritty asshole." So that's why I got the name Swami Nityananda Saraswati. And I wanted the Saraswati order, because that was my connection when I began years ago in meditational science. Yogananda belonged to the Giri. And I had already come through studying the Saraswati order, but I never knew of anybody who knew the Saraswati order. And this man happened to be the Pope of the Swami. He was the headman of all this. And he came to America on a short trip. And that's how we met. That's when, so somebody asked, he said, "How do you know to make this man a Swami?" And he says, "Very simple. One Swami knows another Swami if he goes in the soil for 15 minutes. Meaning, if you can slow your brain down to the delta level and stay in the delta level of your brain for 15 minutes, any other person who is a master of it knows you where you are, and they'll find you wherever you are and come up to you." But that's the first test of Swami. Swami is not a name. Master of the self, by the ability of the body to go down
within your own brain structure to the delta level of the brain for exactly 15 minutes. That's the passing grade. The first 7.5 minutes to do it is called schizophrenia. There are lots of them in the madhouse today. They didn't get past the first 7.5 minutes. Then the next 7.5 minutes is called night of the soul. But if you get past that one, then you may have swamihood. So you know I've been through schizophrenia and night of the soul, and I went to one other place, night stallion. Most people get nightmares. Wait till you get a night stallion. Have you ever experienced a nightmare? Good. There are lots of things waiting. The night stallion is the most important one. But you gotta go through it. There's no way to get around it. It's in your body. The creative it does it, put it together. And until you understand it and live it, it's all conversation. There are no gurus running your life. G-U-R-U already. That's all the guru is. But you have to master yourself. And what is it about you have to master? You have to master the ability to be conscious within your cellular structure and not fall asleep on it. So it begins with your nose and your umbilical cord, and finally it ends up with your whole skin. This skin that you contains your 144 elements. It knows how to breathe without any ego on your part or telling yourself you gotta breathe. But it can breathe. But it never become unconscious. And those who have taken solar nutrition know that oxygen is the only gas that produces the phenomena called consciousness. There is not another gas or element in this universe that makes you conscious. Because it's breath of life, it's oxygen. That's why the answer is yes, no, maybe. Yes, if you want the memories to keep attracting yourself back into the rut that you've been through, it's valid to go back there and bathe in it. But then that's because you're still craving to talk of it. No, the memory is of no asset to now, because breathing is now. And maybe if you relive the journey of the sperm bonding with the ovum inside your cellular structure, you're freed from memory. Cosmic consciousness is the total awareness of all that is right now. There's no past, there is no future, there's only now. And the worst agony is not knowing the future, or not knowing the past. The worst agony is knowing everything that's going to be here and you can't do a doggone thing about it. And you just got to live through like a jackass, being written by the Christ power on your back. Jesus rode on Palm Sunday in a donkey. The human mechanism is like a donkey, beast of burden. And the worst situation is seeing all there is to see and you can't do a single thing. That's why the poet wrote, whatever he said, if ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. He sensed knowing all there is to know isn't going to change. It was much more comfortable to be uninformed, stumble your way through it, and come out smelling like a rose. So I'd rather muddle my way through, even though I see what has happened and set up in the future, but I can't do that on it. There's not a single way I can avoid you from falling down, busting your nose. And if I tell you before it happens, you'll call me a weirdo and then you'll want to call me a fortune teller. But when it happens, then you say, wow, why didn't you do that? Telling a person something and they're not going to do it, they're not going to do it. And seeing it before it happened is no asset to the person who sees it. Because the agony is there for the person to see, and the one who's going to fall down and have it, they don't even know that they're going to fall down and have it. But I'll be taking away your right to fall down and have it if I came over and told you you're going to fall down and have it. You see, that's the bigger agony. So many of the people who are in the position of being prophets or prophecies and all these things, they are in a bigger agony to do what? Interfere with other people's lives? They can only tell you, but they can't prevent you. It's up to you to do. But what is intended in the first place is that each individual be able to see for themselves and function in the now. Because the very principle has set up an investiture in you. And if you accept your investiture, then you don't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. The investiture is your insurance. The investiture is your warranty. Do you understand your investiture? The investiture is Xerox yourself and have dominion over the universe. They can't take that back from you. Elements don't have a right to kill you. No matter how you put together, the same 144 elements put you together, they don't have a right to kill you. The form that you're in is their consent to hold you together, that form, with the 144 elements in it. But not one of them have a right to kill you. And you don't have a right to own any one of them. Because no element can own an element. But you can live the charades or the illusions of being killed by an element, or the desire to feel that you own something, only to leave it when you fall asleep. Now if you realize what you are, not who you are a free person, lord of yourselves. That's what Omar Khayyam had to discover. He said, I sent the soul out into the invisible, a letter of the afterlife to spell, and by his soul came back and said, I myself am heaven and hell. There's nobody out there but me, Big Mouth. But if you understand what you are functionally as atoms in a geometrical shape of tissue, operating from a respiratory input as a recipient, and then the investiture to you that you have a dominion but no ownership, you can do like Brother Jesus. He said, the things I do you can do also, and greater things will you do. He told the wind to go play somewhere else, then it was busy blowing and about to sink the ship with his students. He said, "Peace be still." We did say, "Don't come back." He said, "Don't exist." He said, "Peace be still." That's all he said to the wind. That's one of the elements. Then he turned around and said to the other one in the grave, in the coffin, "Get the hell out of there, man. You can't stay in there. Elements don't have the right to." So could Lazarus stay in the grave? He had to come out. But picture for one moment Lazarus is saying when he's in there, when he heard the command to come out, the elements. Lazarus, come forth. Then Jesus is making a side comment. "Father, I didn't have to say this in a loud voice only because of the people." That's not a big joke in your head. But then Lazarus could have saying in his head, when he heard the command to come out, "No, man, I'm getting out for you. I'm going to lie down and enjoy these cells." So he had to get up. The elements don't have a right. They're under command all the time. Now, if we constantly realize that we can't get rid of these elements, we can only live with them, work with them as ourselves, then the reality is God has become man, allowing man the individuality and the freedom to make mistakes, to recognize this truth that man will never become a god, but man will become God realized. That's a big difference. And God realization is a valid process for each one of us to experience within our own individuality. So the past isn't important. The future, you can't do anything to it. You only can live now. Now, you bought food and you got it in your refrigerator. When? Yesterday? When are you going to eat it? Tomorrow? So, don't you see how you're caught up in a confrontation over yesterday and tomorrow in reference to a now? When is the hunger going to happen? So whenever you get hungry, it's always going to be now. So if you're waiting to be hungry at 2 o'clock tonight, then you already set up what? You're going to wait to get hungry at 2 o'clock tonight, eat? You see what we're doing with ourselves? We buy the food yesterday to eat it tomorrow, and set up the hunger to occur tomorrow or sometime in tomorrow time. This is where we are constantly deluding ourselves. The Eastern man call it Maya, the scientists call it relativity, and break it down into today's simple everyday language, live now. And the guy who went all the way to India, what is his name? Ram Dass, he wrote the book, Be Here Now. Where else can you be? What we're trying to point out is you are the living principle of life, the fact that you breathe. Don't worry about what you look externally, because that can be changed instantly by a trauma or by a commitment. A trauma can make you gray and aged 100 years in a split second. Your body can convert that. And people have gone through it to the point where they're crippled by a trauma in a split second from a telephone call. And in a commitment, they can look brand new young like a 10-year-old kid. So nature has many ways to surprise us. You can't make a commitment to death, so you have to make a commitment to what? Good. So if you make a commitment to life, you are the evidence of the commitment. And the evidence would be your physical frame. You understand now? You are, and always will be, the living expression of the creative intelligence, form, geometry, structure, held together by sound. If you relive it, to release it, it has one advantage and two disadvantages. The one advantage is that you become competent in what you didn't do correctly first time. The two disadvantage is you deprive yourself of the ongoing experience to discover the unrehearsed surprise of your nature. And you delayed your encounter with your own immunity.
So that means
I'm not saying that. If you have a trauma that is inhibiting your mechanism from functioning, you can confront it or go to the therapist to release it, but don't make it a miserable situation that you're going to keep dragging it after you encounter it. Some people, they encounter it and they still want to keep dragging it. They don't want to phase it off and the end it.
In other words, don't just keep on reliving the trauma or have the therapist do it. In fact, was it Ram Dass, I believe, called that playing in your own feces?
That's right. Exactly. Your sins are forgiven, or your misapplied decisions are forgiven in a confrontation, but don't keep digging it up to confront it, because it's over. That's over. Because why? If you look at your horoscope or all your different charts or way to read yourself, you'll see you had that thing to live, and at another point, you had it to forget. So that's kind of a mind-blowing. There's a point in your chart that says you never would remember you ever had that kind of a thing to live. And there's another point where you be so ingrained with the fact that you're living it. It's called the scope of the horror, or the cross, or the crucifixion, and the Calvary. Most of us, if you get Jesus here and ask him, would he sit down and talk about being crucified on the cross? How Judas and all these guys did things to him? Would he pick at the pieces? Then the same thing is true of us. We are given the chance to go through a process in order to rise above it, to warrant compassion and to warrant a cosmic Oscar. That cosmic Oscar is your eternalness in your mechanism and freedom from fear and frustration and limitation of your thought pattern. But you got to go through it. That's the whole process. That's why Jesus said, Father, remove this cup, but then he had to admit if he did that, he'd be blocking. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. he couldn't exercise his individuality over the totality, and he accepted the totality as the prime mover of his structure. So regardless of being nailed to a cross, miserable as he would feel, he had to accept it, knowing it, he didn't drop the blueprint. But when he accepted it by saying, nevertheless, not my will but thy will be done, something occurred in his brain frame, something occurred in his inner consciousness. He saw the outcome of the reward. Then he walked away from the garden, laughing in his heart, all the way to Calvary. That's right.
Where does denial
stand? Denial? Denial has two functions, a negative and a positive. A negative denial is avoidance. A positive denial is muddling your way through it. It's hard to do, but that's a positive denial. Muddling your way through it. A negative denial is total avoidance. You turn around and try and get out of it. So suicide would be the exit. The Scorpio in you will get you. But if you take the positive denial, the Pisces will get you through. There's not a marine life existing on the planet that would not take a chance in any tide, because it has to swim in water to survive. And that's inside of you already, because you're a composition of a sperm and an ovum and built into it from a marine origin. So the hero in and heroine is already inside of you. You got to turn it up, like muddling your way through. But you can also be a suicidal, like a scorpion, sting itself to death in its own frustration. That's the negative denial.
So somebody is in negative denial. In order to get out of that,
as long as you finish the commitment, no matter if you go back, you must finish the commitment to complete and get out. But don't just go back just for the sake of fooling yourself, you're going back to avoid. So the point is, what is more important is whatever you say to yourself is in the commitment. Finish it. So the code of the West is what? A man is as good as his smile or his word. Right. So basically, because there is no commandment, thou shalt not lie, you are allowed to lie to yourself till you realize you can't continue to lie to yourself. You'd have to finish what you say.
That's what Ed was talking about, playing the
That's right, exactly. See, there's no commandment, thou shalt not lie, because the whole universe is a, what, an illusion, optical illusion, or a maya, or a relativity, centered upon acceleration. Elements playing this particular process of holding things together in a geometrical shape by resonance. That's the spoken word. Your own spoken word holds up the geometry, and your own spoken word separates the geometry. So if you're going to be honest with yourselves, you have to make a commitment and finish it by doing it. And just don't say it and don't do it, because they'll pull you out from underneath and let you face your own dirt. See? So that is why placebo works. The scientist doesn't like it, but it's a preparation for the acceptance of commitment. Thank you. Well, I guess we gotta hit the road. Love you, folks, and I want you to